Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. When you are confronted with difficult situations, it's not the reply of the tongue that matters. It's the response of the heart. That is where the real you lives. If you use words to deal with life, they will only be as valuable as the words. If you put your heart into it, the value is multiplied. Always be ready to provide an answer, and if necessary, use words.
When life changes, you have to adjust, like downsizing your household or selling a business. When we had to do that, we called Grant's Auction and Realty. Our family has used them for 2 estate sales. Mike and Cindy Grant are really organized, and they lot and catalog every item. If you're a seller, that gets you top dollar on your items. And if you're a buyer, catalog items let you study what you want and know about when they'll sell. When that time comes in your life, call Grant's Auction and Realty, 580-225-0269.
You know you need to get your oil changed, but you keep putting it off because your day is already too busy, and you don't want another interruption. We want to do something about that. Barber Dyson Ford will come get your vehicle, service it, and bring it back to you. At work, at home, anywhere. You don't even have to think about it. Just keep doing what you're doing, and we'll take care of the rest. No interruptions. Barber Dyson Ford, Elk City, only at barberdysonford.net. Let us make your life a little bit easier.
This is Pastor Chasten Music with Gateway Church here in Elk City. Our address is 4227 West 3rd Street, just a mile and a half past Tractor Supply. Reach us by phone, 580-225-4646. Encourage you to come and join us just as you are for any of our service times. Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. worship, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m., or Wednesday nights at 6:30 with Bible engagement. We are a church that loves people and loves God. Gateway Church, we are stronger together.
We are back. You are tuned into the Hour of Power. Our guest for today is Pastor Kayla Burge. Her title for this morning is Prayer and Faith. Back to you, sister.
Yeah. So I want to ask, what do you guys do when someone you know and love gets sick? I mean, think about it. Parents, what do you do when your child becomes ill? We're getting into that time of the year where flu's going around, and, you know, RSV's going around, common cold, all that kind of stuff is going around. I mean, spouses, what do you do when your beloved gets a bad diagnosis? I mean, children, even. What do you do when mom or dad comes back from the doctor with bad news? It's hard, right? It's hard. Well, in the gospel, in Matthew chapter 15, verses 21 through 28, which is kind of what the scripture we're going to be using today, we meet a woman who shows us what to do. And so in Matthew's gospel, Jesus decides that he's going to go to Tyre and Sidon. And the folks who live in Tyre and Sidon, they're not Jewish folks. So to the Jewish people, these people would be considered pagans, heretics, or maybe in the South we would refer to them as Yankees. But that's where Jesus decides to go. And along the way, a woman approaches him, and she's a Canaanite woman. Now, the Canaanites had been at odds with the people of Israel for a very, very long time. And this woman, she has a problem. Someone she loves is sick. Her daughter is suffering. I mean, in the scripture, it talks about how her daughter is demon-possessed. She is sick. And so she walks up to Jesus and says, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David." Now, this is a non-Jewish woman using very Jewish language. And she uses the correct Jewish name, Lord, Son of David, for the Messiah. And even though she is not Jewish, she has already come to believe Jesus is the one sent by God to save us. And so she gets in his face and says, "You're going to help me." And how does Jesus respond? If you read the scripture, how does he respond? Jesus is silent. She pours out her entire heart to him and he says nothing. Have you ever had that experience? You say the right words, you recite the right prayers, you pour out your heart to Christ, and the response you get is nothing. What do you do when God is silent? Notice what happens next, though, in the scripture. The disciples of Jesus say to him, "Send her away. She's bothering us. Get rid of her. This woman is suffering, and she is being turned away." And then Jesus finally does say something. And it's really shocking. Basically, he says, "I was sent only to help the Jewish folks." But I'm going to tell you, this woman, she is not taking no for an answer. Someone she loves is sick, and she is not going to let someone else tell her no. So she kneels right down in front of Jesus, and she's not going to be ignored, and says, "Lord, help me." And then Jesus says something probably even more shocking. "It's not right to take the food of the children and give it to the dogs." Now, this woman's daughter is sick, and Jesus just called her a dog. Now, I'm going to tell you, this is not the first time that Jesus has said something apparently insulting. Remember back in other parts of scripture, remember Peter, one of Jesus' disciples? He says to Peter in other parts of scripture, "Get behind me, Satan." But maybe there are times when Jesus uses this harsh language because he is trying to teach us something important. I can think about myself that when I'm reading scripture and everything is nice and flowy, it's all rainbows and roses and clouds, that it's like, "Oh, this is nice. This is great." And then you read something like this and you're like, "What?" And I think to myself, when I get to a scripture passage like this, maybe Jesus is purposely trying to pause and stop me to think and say, "What is significant here? This is not normal, but I need to pay attention." But I'm going to tell you, either way, this woman, she's not going to take no for an answer. She's not taking no as an answer from Jesus. She doesn't move. She doesn't scream at Jesus for hurting her feelings. She doesn't go, "Well, I just can't believe this is happening." She doesn't complain. In effect, she says instead, "Okay, you're going to call me a dog. Then I'm going to throw it right back out in your face. Even the dogs get to eat the crumbs that fall from the table. So throw a scrap of mercy towards my daughter. She is sick, and you are the only one who can help me." She challenges Jesus. Now, I don't know about you. I don't think I would want to be the one that challenged Jesus. I don't know. Maybe I just think that I might get, you know, smited or something. But at the same time, I didn't want to challenge Jesus. That kind of seems a little intimidating. But I'm going to tell you, when Jesus is challenged, we discover something new about his mission and ministry. You see, he looks at her with love and says, "Woman, great is your faith." And her daughter is instantly healed. And what we discover about Jesus when he is challenged is we discover his mission and ministry are far bigger than anyone, perhaps maybe even Jesus thought at the in the very beginning, could have even first imagined. It's bigger than what we can ever imagine. But remember, Jesus was born to a Jewish family. He was a Jew. He started preaching in the synagogues, telling the people of Israel that he has been sent by God to reveal God's saving love to his chosen people. And then this woman comes, and he is challenged by this woman who has a sick daughter. She comes from the other side of the border. And when she challenges him, we discover that God's saving help is not limited to a small group of the right folks, the people with the right paperwork, the right membership card. No, God's saving love is not limited to them. You see, God's love cannot be held back by any border or line of division that we decide to draw. Let me repeat that. God's love cannot be held back by any border or line of division that we decide to draw. You see, for us, it is dangerous for us to try to confine God within the limitations that we devise in our own mind. We discover that no one is unworthy of God's love. No one is unworthy of God's care. And no one should be judged unworthy of our love and care either. If we are Christians, we should reflect the image of who Christ is, which means we should never judge someone of being unworthy of God's love and care. And that's what we discover about Jesus' ministry. And what do we discover, though, maybe about this woman, this Canaanite woman who challenges Jesus? She faces a parent's worst nightmare. Her child is sick. Her daughter is literally dying. And when she faces this challenge, we discover exactly what she is made of. And so maybe you're asking, what is she made of? She is made of a fierce faith. A fierce faith that gives her the courage to break down every barrier and expect an answer from God. And maybe you're out there listening right now and you are in that point that you're like, man, I don't know what else to do. Keep your faith strong. Expect that God is going to answer you. Because this woman, she approaches Jesus. She calls him Savior. We know that she has faith. But I'm going to tell you, this is not a nice faith. This is not a polite faith. This is not a happy-go-lucky faith. This is the kind of fierce faith that enables her to stand resolutely before Christ and say, you are going to help me. So remember, at first, Jesus is silent when she prays for help. When she asks Christ for help, Jesus is silent. And today, many of us as Christians simply give up on prayer, give up on faith, give up on God and the church if the Lord fails to answer us right away. We just do. That's what we do as humans. I mean, many of us as Christians, we pray once about something, and if God doesn't answer us as we want, when we want, right now, we give up on prayer. And I'm going to tell you, that's a thin, thin faith. This woman has a fierce faith. She's not going to stop just because God is silent. She's not going to stop even when Jesus calls her an insulting name. You see, when she is challenged, she discovers her very own strength, her own intelligence, her own courage. She discovers that she has a fierce, fierce faith. Her mama bear comes out in this moment, and she's not going to take no for an answer. She's not going to say God can't help her. She just knows she's got to keep her faith going, even in the times that seem so hard. When you reach rock bottom, the reality is that God is still there, and she knows it and is not going to let it stop her. And every one of us, including the children, we all are going to encounter moments in life when we need a fierce faith, when we need that mama bear faith. And if you have never encountered a moment like that in your life, please contact me because I want to know your secret. But the reality is we all come across moments where we struggle. And unless we start building that kind of faith now, we won't have what we need when we need it. Come on. So how do we build a fierce faith? We build it by getting down on our knees, just like this woman in the gospel, and focusing on Jesus. And so, parents, I want to encourage you to get down on your knees at home and pray for your children. Children, I want to encourage you to get down on your knees at home and pray for your parents. Spouses, get down on your knees and pray for each other. Friends, neighbors, get down on your knees and pray for each other. Get down on your knees and pray for our troubled world. Because Lord knows we need all of the prayer we can have. And I'm going to tell you, if your prayer life is limited to Sunday morning worship and a quick grace before meals, it's not going to be enough. A fierce faith requires more. If the last time you read your Bible was when Jimmy Carter was president, I'm going to encourage you to pick up your Bible, blow the dust off, and read it, because if you haven't read it since then, it's not enough. A fierce faith requires more. If you haven't attended an educational event, a small group, a Sunday school class, or even maybe church, since Johnny Mathis hit a record, that I'm going to tell you, it's not enough. You've got to get back into your faith, because a fierce faith requires more. And if you're out there listening to us right now, I want you to know that faith is something we have to build up. It's not something that we're just going to be, you know, graced with and saying, okay, I've got the greatest faith in the world. We have to always be working towards it. We have to be getting into a deeper relationship with our living God to hear his heartbeat, which means sometimes we have to take a step back from what is going on in our lives and say, God, I am here surrendering myself to you. And stick to it. Set an alarm for a time on every day on your phone. Set a time aside every day that you're going to read your scripture. Set a time that weekly you're going to go and worship somewhere, or tune in to the Hour of Power every single day. Find something to give you that encouragement to develop a deeper relationship with God. Because when the going gets tough, we need God more than ever. And the only way we're going to be ready for that when the going gets tough is going to be when the going is going well in our lives, that we are developing that stronger relationship. Because if our faith is very, very thin, when we hit rock bottom, we tend to give up on God, on the church, and on life. And that is not going to fly, because guess what? Things are going to happen in life. All throughout Scripture, we hear of stories after stories of different biblical characters who have gone through struggles in their life. Mm-hmm. And these are the people that we know are called by God, and they went through struggles. We're going to go through struggles too, and that's okay. That's just a part of life. But where is our faith in the midst of that? Because I'm going to tell you, a fierce faith, it requires love. It requires love for God, love for your family, love for your neighbor, and even love for the foreigner and the stranger. It requires a determination not just to pray the right prayer, but to do the right thing. And the way we do that is by developing a life with God. And I know that that's not easy. I can think of times in my life where I wanted to give up. But it was my faith that helped me get through it. And so I don't want you to wait until the challenge comes. I don't want you to wait until you hit rock bottom to try to step up your faith life. We need to get serious about prayer now. We need to get serious about our relationship with God now. We need to get serious now about reading scripture and going and being a part of a worshiping community. Because that is going to help us stand resolutely before Christ when struggle comes our way and says, God, I need you. You're the only one that can help me, and I need you every hour, I need you. So I want to encourage you to get down on your knees this week, to pray with all of your might, with your body, your mind, your soul, and your strength. I want you to pray, Lord, help us. Father, I need you. And when you do that, remember that you are being lovingly embraced in the arms of your Father, and you can hear his heartbeat, and he can hear yours. Amen.
Amen and amen. I needed this message this morning. It's so good. If you did not catch all of this morning, I highly encourage you to go back and catch it from the beginning. It's so good. So good. You have been tuned into the Hour of Power this morning, y'all. And I am going to say it again.
Oh, do you want to have her?
Oh, yes. Sorry. Thank
sure,
you.
I'm sorry.
No, thank you. Don't apologize. You're the other half. Somebody's got to help keep me aligned on this side.
I forget when I'm sitting over there, too. So.
Oh, you're good.
Would you be kind enough to share with the people the location and service times and anything else that you would like to share about your church, Elk City United Methodist Church?
Yeah. I'm one of the associate pastors at Elk City United Methodist Church. Our service times are at 9:00 in the morning and 11:00 in the morning. We've got traditional service at 9 a.m. and contemporary service at 11. And we're over on 720 West Country Club Boulevard. So, you know, right here off the main road. We are in full swing. We've got small groups that are on Wednesday nights at 6:30 from 2 years of age all the way up until, you know, senior adults. And so we've got a meal at 5:30 and then classes start at 6:30. Children's stuff starts at 6. We'd love to have you guys out. And more so than anything else, I want each and every one of you to plug in with some church. If it's not with the United Methodist Church, that's okay. Plug in with a church. Get to have your relationship deeper with God today, because we all need it. And there is something about worshiping with others and being in a part of a community that helps us to deepen our faith. One of the other things that's coming up in November, we are hosting something called the Care Portal. This is through the Oklahoma Department of Human Services. It's basically to help with foster care needs. We are hosting and launching Beckham County. So we are trying to have this. It's basically each church can sign up. And then when foster needs come about, say that they need a twin size bunk bed or something, we can respond and say, yeah, I can help with that. And we go and meet their needs. And so we're going to be launching that on November 9th. Our church is going to host the county event. And we're just excited to be able to be the church out here in Western Oklahoma. I think it is something needed, and I think it's something that we can all be a part of. And Elk City does a great job already of meeting needs, of just being a good community, but I want this to go to the whole state. And so I'm excited for that to come up as well. But we are in full swing. Advent and Christmas will be here before we know it. And so we are just getting really excited.
Amen. We appreciate you taking the time to come and share your message with us this morning. God bless you, sister.
Bless you as well.
Again, you have been tuned into the Hour of Power, and it is the most powerful hour of my day. For myself, Monica Lovell, from the beautiful Tina Dobbs, and from the beautiful Kayla, y'all have a blessed day, and we will see you next time.
We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com or The Rock Christian Music on Facebook. Download the Paragon Communications app where you'll find the rock Christian music and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray.